Good morning. It's good to see everybody this morning. Glad that you are here to worship with us and hopefully, if not learn something, at least be encouraged by being here, be reminded of maybe something that you had forgotten or just needed encouragement for. And so we're thankful that you are here. I appreciate Gabe and his leading of the songs, especially the song that he sang second, Master, the Tempest is Raging, because we are going to be talking today about water. If you were following along with Bob in Psalm 69, the first verse says, "Save me, O God, for the waters have threatened my life." I wonder how many times our lives have been threatened by water. There's certainly a dangerous element to water. But yet, as we'll talk about later on, there's also a life-saving element of water. How often do we have our lives really threatened by that water? A lot of it has to do with intention. You know, I heard a comedian once talking about that very thing, how, you know, you can be in water and be drowning, but yet you can be in water and having fun and swimming. And he said he always did a check of when he was in water, what clothes he had on. If he had swimming trunks, he was okay. If he was in jeans and a polo, he probably should start to worry, because he probably didn't mean to be in the water at that point. And I think a lot of that is the same for us as well. And we'll relate water to certain things and certain dangers in our own lives, not necessarily physical water, but just having those, you know, those trials, those things that we're dealing with represented by water. I think if we would look, it's typically intention that would make the difference. Why am I here? Am I drowning in this water because I wasn't ready for it? Or does this water save me because I was prepared for it? Probably an expression that we all know is used twice within this context. He says in verse 2, "I have sunk in deep mire and there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters." In verse 15 also it says, "May the flood of water not overflow me, nor the deep swallow me up, nor the pit shut its mouth on me." And so two or twice in this context, he uses that phrase, deep water. Have we ever used that term, that somebody is in deep water or going to be in deep water, meaning that they are in deep trouble? And you know, I went through and I thought, where did we get that phrase from? Dummy me. Right, I'm thinking, I wonder where that phrase come from, because here it's a biblical term. And so I did this search on the internet, and everything's true on the internet, we all know that. But I did this search, and I did search after search, and website after website, all pointed me to Psalm chapter 69. Said, yeah, Tony, of course it's in the Bible. That's where the concept comes from, of being in deep water. But yet we may not have correlated the two. We've probably used that phrase our whole life and didn't even realize that we were using a biblical concept, a biblical term. And I'm sure that other people use that same term and don't even know that they're using a biblical concept when they do it. And that happens quite often, not just with this phrase, but other phrases and concepts as well. Well, here in Psalm 69, and we are going to look at another psalm that's credited by David. And if you've looked on your bulletin for this morning, your news and notes for this morning, you will notice that this is the series of lessons that we're doing throughout the year, crying out to the Lord. And the reason I normally do it on the last Sunday, but because I'm not going to be here or not going to be preaching on that last Sunday, next week starts our gospel meeting. I figured I would just jump ahead, because last month I got behind and had to. So we've done two in April, but that's okay. We're caught up today. We're actually today a week ahead of schedule. So I hope that doesn't throw anybody off. And I didn't even print anything out this year due to COVID and passing things out. So I didn't have a schedule that I had to follow. But this is part of that overall series of lesson of crying out to the Lord. And many of these lessons are going to come from the Psalms, and many of them are going to come from David. But as we look at the fact that this is coming from David, we might step back and say, boy, David seemed to be like in crisis a lot, didn't he? You know, so many of the Psalms that are credited to David start out with David in a dire situation. He feels like his life is being ripped from him. And in this moment, he feels like it again. He feels like he's sinking. He feels like he's drowning. And he's expressing that in Psalm. If you look at the title of, you know, if you your Bible is broken up into sections and has titles, you may see a title along the line of a cry of distress, an imprecation on adversaries. That imprecation is really a cursing of them. But it's a cry of distress. And we seem to find David, King David. David, a man after God's own heart, he is in distress a lot. And again, I think if we find David, the king, a man after God's own heart, a lot of times in distress, that we're probably going to look in the mirror and see distress in our own lives. So how do we deal with it? Why does deep water represent danger? Well, usually deep water means that you are far away from safety. You may be able to swim very well, but when there's nothing to swim to, well, it can be pretty intimidating. I can remember I was about 12 or 13 years old, and I went on a fishing trip with one of my uncles at Lake Erie. I loved it, just had a wonderful time. But I noticed that we got out so far that you couldn't see land. Right? There was nothing but water around you. There was, and to think about jumping out and trying to swim some, where do you swim? What direction do you go? Now, I could swim, and I'm in that deep water, and I did jump out and swim. Sorry, Mom, if I didn't tell you that. But he let me jump out there and swim around a little bit. But if that boat hadn't been there, I would have had no idea where to go, where to even begin to look for land. I wasn't even sure he knew how to get back, but I wasn't sure how we were even going to get back, because you couldn't, there was no markers. You couldn't see anything. And so that's why I believe that deep water usually represents danger, because we're far from safety. If we're in deep water, we probably can't see land. We don't know where to swim. And we're not going to get a break, because you can't stop. You'll begin to sink. You have to constantly be keeping yourself afloat. And so you're going to wear yourself out, struggling to stay up. So the very thing that keeps you up is going to be the thing that eventually leads to your drowning, because you're going to get tired and you're not going to be able to do it anymore. So let's look at the concept of dangerous waters. Again, in verses 1 and 2 of our context in Psalm 69, it would be a good place to mark in your Bibles if you haven't done that already, because we'll come back and forth. But it is a Psalm of David. And it says, "Save me, O God, for the waters have threatened my life. I have sunk deep in mire, and there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and a flood overflows me." I think we definitely see a picture of somebody here that is just engulfed in life. Right? He's using water to represent that, but he is engulfed in life. You know, water is an interesting element, because it really does form around whatever is in it, doesn't it? There's a concept in business that it talks about organizational change and how to change an organization. And so the concept is actually they use water to do this. So think about a long piece of ice that you might find outside on a winter day, where maybe it has been dripping down and you see this long piece of ice. What happens if you try to bend it? Well, it's going to break. And that's the concept with a business. There's a lot of working, moving parts that they know what they're doing, and if you try to move them too quickly, they're going to break. And so it's called the unfreezing process. You have to make it become water, right? You unfreeze it so you can change it. Once you make it water again, then you can form it to anything that you want, right? You can put that water in a form and then stick it back in a freezer and refreeze it. And so that's the process, very basic, that businesses go through. Well, again, water is an interesting element because it just surrounds it forms to whatever is in it. And so as David is in the water of life, everything just surrounds him. Or think about a wave that might overtake someone standing on a beach. You just feel overwhelmed. You feel surrounded. And once that water hits you, you don't know where you are. You're being tossed to and fro, as the song that we sang suggests. Master, the tempest is raging. Right? We're being tossed around. So it's not just somebody sinking. It's not just somebody drowning that's pictured here. Yes, water is the element, but this person is engulfed in that water. It's like a wave of water has overtaken him and he doesn't know which direction he's going. He can't get out. The psalmists, many of them, use water as that idea of danger. In the 32nd Psalm in verse 6, therefore let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found, surely in a flood of great waters they will not reach him. In Psalm 42 in verse 7, deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. The 88th Psalm in verse 17. They have surrounded me like water all day long. They have encompassed me altogether. In the 144th Psalm in verse 7. Stretch forth your hand from on high. Rescue me out of great waters. Out of the hand of aliens, not from outer space, but from different countries. Interestingly enough, though, water is actually a life-saving element as well. Do you know that you need water to survive? Now, personally, I like my water a little more carbonated and sweetened than just regular water. Maybe some of you are like that as well. I don't like to just drink water, but you know what? I do sometimes just drink water. Why? Because I know that it's good for me. My body doesn't like it. My taste buds don't like it, but I know that it is good for me. I know in cases where, you know, again, playing sports, it kind of helped me out with this. I know when I'm getting really dehydrated. I can tell. Certain things are you know, cramping up or certain things happen, and I know my body well enough to know I'm getting dehydrated. I probably should start drinking water. The sad thing is once you start getting dehydrated, when your mouth is dry, you're already dehydrated. When those signs start showing, you're already dehydrated. So it's really difficult to catch that back up. We need water to survive, both physically, but yet spiritually as well. In John chapter 3 in verse 5, Jesus tells Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So there's these two life-saving things that Jesus mentions here. One is the Spirit, but the other is water. And hopefully we understand and can correlate that to baptism. And so we need, both physically and spiritually, we need water to survive. However, if we have too much water, if we drink too much water, we can die. And there are those cases as well. Those are the cases that I lean toward. Hey, see, if you drink too much water, you might die. If you get too much water, if you inhale water into your lungs, you can die. So this thing that can save us can also be our demise. And so we find it that dangerous situation where, as I mentioned earlier, typically it's all about intention. If I intend to go into the waters of baptism and come back up, I should be safe. If I'm not intending to be in that water, I can drown. I've always used the analogy of falling into the hands of the living God is dangerous, right? That God's Word tells us that. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But what about if you walk there? What about if you walk into God's hands? Willingly, knowingly. Not fall into His hand after the fact because we didn't do what was right while we were here. But now, walk into His hands. See, it's not as dangerous now, is it? But yet it's the same hands of the same God that we serve. And in one case, we're perfectly safe. We're as safe as we will ever be. And in the other case, we are in more danger than we have ever been in or will ever be. And it's all about our intention on being there. So what does water represent? It really can represent anything. But we find this man, David, in a dire situation. But why does he feel this way? I think there's two suggestions that he gives us here. Number one is a physical sickness. Look at Psalm 69 and verse 21. Here he says, they also gave me gall. And if you, again, look up the Hebrew word here for gall, it is actually poison. Okay, but they have also gave me gall for my food, or poison for my food, and for my thirst gave me vinegar to drink. Now, how many of you on a nice hot summer day just want to come in and have a nice lukewarm glass of vinegar to top off the day, just to cool you down? No. Now, gall, again, is poisonous. It typically comes from a plant of sorts. And so that's what, you know, he's getting food as his food and vinegar as his drink of refreshment. And so, again, there's a suggestion there that there's a physical sickness that is taking place. Also, in verse 29, he says this, but I am afflicted and in pain. May your salvation, O God, set me securely on high. And so he talks about, after he's fed this poison and drinks this vinegar, which I don't know if you've ever drank vinegar. I have. It turns my stomach. Now, my sister will drink it all day long, and it's disgusting. But she likes it. Most of us don't. Right? She will take a jar of pickles. Everybody will eat the pickles out, and she'll drink the pickle juice. Ugh. Just even thinking about it makes me cringe a little. But she does that. Not many of us do. And it's not necessarily for refreshment either. So he's getting this food that is poison, this drink that might turn our stomachs, right? And so it could represent a physical sickness to him, that somebody is poisoning him. And he doesn't feel well. He doesn't feel right physically. And again, something going on, and let's, you know, make application for ourselves. There may be something going on in our own lives, whether it's a physical illness or sickness, or whether it's just some other physical calamity. We can feel like we're drowning. How many times do we use phrases like drowning in debt? Right? I feel like I'm drowning in debt. So somebody may physically be having some financial troubles, and once those start, boy, it's hard to get them headed back into the right direction. I know. It's difficult. You feel like you're drowning. You feel like every time you start swimming, you feel like you're heading in the wrong direction. And you feel like you're getting deeper and deeper into that water. And so we use expressions like that. Feel like we're drowning in debt. I don't know what your physical illness, physical sickness is. Maybe it has to do with finances. Maybe it has to do with family relationships or friendships that have gone awry. But anything physical, we can feel like we're drowning. Also, he mentions his enemies. In the 69th Psalm, in verse 4, he says, those who hate me without a cause and more than the hairs on my head. Those who would destroy me are powerful, being wrongfully my enemies. What I did not steal, I then have to restore." Well, that certainly could make you feel like you're drowning, right? If you have to continually restore things that you didn't take. And if you remember, as David is talking, and we're talking about a child of Israel, in the law, it wasn't just give back. If you took something, you gave that back, and four times what you took. So I believe that that is what David is addressing here. Not that I just have to give it back. I didn't take something, and then I have to give it back four times of what I didn't take. And so he's talking about his enemies, and he's talking like he's feeling like he's drowning. And mistreatment by others, again, can make us feel like we're drowning. Like there's no way out. Like you can't do anything right. There's no other way to turn to. Now, here really is the key to all of this. No matter what he's using water to represent, whether it's some physical illness or whether it's just his enemies that are he feels like are overtaking him, I want you to notice why he is being mistreated in this way. Why he has been poisoned. Why his enemies are after him. Notice Psalm 69 verses 7 through 9. He tells God, "Because for your sake I have borne reproach, and dishonor has covered my face. I have become estranged from my brothers and an alien to my mother's sons. For zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me." He is being mistreated because of his devotion for God. And that's the key. No matter what we have going on in our lives, no matter what the difficulties are, we need to be focused on God. We need to have this kind of zeal for God. Now, David seems to be expressing at least some sort of displeasure that, it's because of you. Now, he's not trying to pass blame onto God that, like, this is your fault. I think he's just trying to point out, I'm going through all of this. I feel like I'm drowning because I'm doing what's right. And I'm telling you, anytime you make a decision that is a right decision, that other people from the world will not agree with or do not agree with, they will cause you to feel like you're drowning. They will attack that decision. Even though you know it to be the right decision, they will attack it because they feel almost belittled by it. Like, I wish I could make that decision, but I don't want them to make that decision because if they make that decision, it makes me look bad, and then they attack. I just saw that I accidentally went forward. So, hopefully we get the concept that we are going to be mistreated, and there are going to be times when we're mistreated because we're doing what God wants us to do. Because we are making the right decisions. So, what do we do when we're drowning? Well, the most basic thing that I can tell you to do is trust in God. Yes, the very one who is the cause of the mistreatment that you may be going through, much like David, you're trying to make the right decisions, you know it's the right decision, but other people are not going to like it. You make those decisions and you trust in God. But here's what we have to do. We have to trust in God more deeply than the water that we're already in. That's deep. Do you realize how deep David feels drowning in despair and distress in these verses? We've already talked about it. But do you feel it? Can you feel it when you read those verses that this is somebody who is drowning? This is somebody who feels overwhelmed. He doesn't have anywhere to turn. But he has to go even deeper into trusting God, that God can get him out of that. Master, the tempest is raging. And yet we have to trust in God, that God is able to deliver us from whatever trial, from whatever temptation, from whatever we feel may be surrounding us. We have to go even deeper. Now, is that something that's easy to do? No. It is something that is extremely difficult to do. Look at the example of Peter in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 26. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command to me come to you on the water." He said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." Now, again, we give Peter a hard time when it comes to this, right? We say, well, Peter got distracted, right? He was able to be distracted. He lost sight of Jesus. He was focusing more on the wind, and we give him a hard time because he started to sink and he cried out to the right place. Let me ask you this, where was everybody else? They were still in the boat. They didn't apparently trust Jesus enough to even get out of the boat. But when he knew he was drowning, he knew he couldn't make it back to the boat. He didn't just try to swim back to the boat. He had to stop and cry out and say, "Lord, save me." He knew he was in a position that he could not get back to where he was, where he was going to be safe, where everybody else still was. They didn't even get out of the boat. Oftentimes, as Christians, we are required to get out of the boat. But so many times we stay in because that's where we feel safe. But understand, if it is God that is leading us, that we can walk on the water. And if we begin to sink, we need to cry out, "Lord, save me." Do we cry out when we are in distress? Again, the 69th Psalm, verse 1 says, "O God," or "Save me, O God, for the waters have threatened my life." Verse 33 says, "For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his who are prisoners." See, David knows that God will hear. Even if God's action is delayed, God will hear. God can save. We may want out of our whatever we're drowning in, whether it's financial debt, whether it's a physical illness of some sort. It may not be the answer that we want. It may not be as quick as we want the answer to come. We may ask God to get us out of that financial debt, but yet we don't make any new decisions. We keep getting further and further in debt. And we say, where's God? Or maybe we're making the right decisions, but yet we're still in debt. And we think, where's God? He's there. He can save. If He chooses to do that, He is there. And it may take longer than we would want. It may come in a different way than what we think it will come. But at the very least, we will have a home in heaven with Him if we do what is right. As we've looked, Psalm 69 is certainly a cry of distress. And there may be multiple reasons for that distress. And again, if you're here today and you are in distress in some way, I don't know the reason that you're in distress. And it could be different for different people, or maybe some of you are dealing with the very same thing. But understand that it can be the same for us. It's going to be different reasons for all of us. But we still have to go to the right place. The point is to go to Him, to trust Him to work it out. But yet remember that we have a responsibility as well. That there are some things that we can do that God has already told us to do. How many times have we told our children to do something? And then we find them not doing it. And you ask them about it and they say, oh, I forgot what you said. Well, that doesn't relieve you of your responsibility, right? If you know that there was, I knew there was something, but I forgot what it was. I do that all the time. I tell Alana, if you give me more than 3 items, you better send me a text because I will forget them, right? I can do 2, but if you hit that 3rd item that I have to pick up at the store, you need to send me a text because I will stand in the store and go, you know what? There was a 3rd item. I can't remember what it was. I know there's one. I just don't know what it is. And so I have to make that phone call, that call of shame. What was that 3rd thing? And it's something so simple. I think sometimes we do that with God. I know there's something I'm supposed to be doing. But because I don't know what it is, I'm just going to leave it alone. No, we need to check. We need to go find out. Just like a child, we tell our children, if you knew that you were missing something, you should have come and asked. Now, we don't like to have to repeat ourselves, but we will tell you if you say, listen, I forgot. I know you gave me 3 things to do, but I can only remember 2 of them. What was that 3rd thing? We'll tell you. But so oftentimes, they just don't do it, and then that's when they get in trouble. Same thing for us spiritually. I know there's things I need to be doing. I'm just not doing them. Either because I'm afraid, because I'm scared, because I already feel like I'm drowning. Trust God. He will work it out for you. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, we began by looking at not only the destructive power of water, but the life-saving power of water. If you're here and you are not a child of God, we can baptize you today into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, so that you can walk out of here as a child of His. If you're here and you are a child of God who has fallen away, there's time and opportunity to come back this very morning. We will pray with you. We will pray for you. God, who is in heaven listening and waiting, will reach out and save you each and every time that you ask. If you're here and subject to God's call in any way, won't you please come to the front seat while we stand and while we sing.